Hello, it's Kayla, and I wanted to do another podcast episode because, you know, with quarantine and the coronavirus going around, which I hope everyone is staying safe and, you know, practicing social distancing, and I just hope everyone's okay. I know it's really hard right now, but I wanted to take all this free time that we all have right now. Well, not all of it is free time because, you know, there's still classes being done online and other things, but for the most part, most of us have a little bit of free time, and I wanted to make another podcast episode, and hopefully more throughout this indefinite quarantine. If you remember in the last one, I talked about multiple timeline and, like, my interpretation of it, kind of. So, like, I haven't listened to it again since I made it because I don't like listening to my own voice. But I probably, if I know myself a little bit, which I think I do, I probably talked about how the theory is that every major decision that we make in our lives branches off into a different timeline of our life. So, like, you kind of picture, like, yourself as a tree, and as you're going through life, you're growing taller and taller, and every big decision that you have to make in your life, I know it's not as easy as always, like, one way or another, like, black and white thinking, but just for the purpose of the theory, to make it simple, we'll say that it's a yes or no, or, you know, this or that type of big thing that you have to decide on, and, you know, whichever one you pick, you start a branch there. So then your life goes into these two different directions. The one that you live where you made the decision, and then there's another timeline of yourself that is living the other decision. And it, you know, it can get quite messy pretty quickly because, you know, we all make so many big decisions in our lives. Or we just have things happen to us that, you know, we can't really control. And that can also play into the entire theory of, like, for example, okay, I moved my, the summer of my junior year, so I've definitely thought of, like, oh, I wonder, you know, what would happen if I didn't have to move, because that wasn't something that anybody, in my family had a choice to make. It was something that we had to do, so I've definitely thought of, like, you know, my little tree timeline, split off into the life that I'm living now, that we moved, and the life I would have had if we didn't move, and, like, how that side of Kayla timeline is going and stuff like that. So that's what we talked about in the last episode. I'm out of breath because I'm nervous and it's okay. In this one, I wanted to talk about reincarnation and a little bit about dreaming and lucid dreaming, because they're both topics that I think are really interesting. They're topics that me and Avery have talked about a lot, mostly because, I hope she's okay with me saying this, I don't think she'll mind. She doesn't really dream, or she doesn't remember her dreams very often, and I have very vivid lucid dreams, so it's a big contrast in our friendship that we have. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that. I'm very out of breath, I'm gonna take a drink. So, I wanted to talk about reincarnation because it's something that I've experienced in my life, and it's something that I believe in, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the timeline theory, but not really too much, I guess. And I've got a couple websites up here to make sure that I'm talking about these things properly. I read them briefly before I started, but basically, just, oh, Jesus, that was horrible. I wanted to give a definition of what reincarnation was, and I saw it. Okay. So, this essay that I'm gonna be giving the definition of reincarnation from is from UK Essays. It says, reincarnation is the belief that a part of our consciousness will continue living after the death of the physical body and will be reborn into a new body here on Earth. So, that's basically all reincarnation is. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but that's, like, on its face value, that is what reincarnation is. It's the soul or like part of our being that gets put into another human or entity or, you know, whatever living thing here on Earth after we pass away. So, I guess I should start out with my experience with it a little bit, I guess, maybe, is that when my dog passed away a while ago, I was like 10, 11, and I'm 18, so like 7 years ago, something like that, my dog passed away, and it was a little miniature dash hound, so, you know, the little wiener dogs, and I want to say, like, a year maybe after he had passed away, my mom and I were on a walk. I don't know why that came up so funky. Me and my mom were on a walk in the neighborhood, and there was this lady walking her dog, and it was a miniature dash hound, and it came running over to us and was, like, super excited and, you know, wouldn't leave us alone, kept licking our hands and stuff, and was just really, like, really hyper to be around us. And so, you know, we're petting the dog, and we're talking to the lady, and she goes, you know, she's never acted like this. Like, she's not a people person. It took her a while to, like, warm up to my family, so it's very strange for her to be acting like this to complete strangers. And me and my mom were like, oh, that's really interesting. Didn't think much of it, and then, you know, we said goodbye to the lady, we went our separate ways, and my mom goes, and my mom was like, do you think Snoopy, like, that dog kind of acted like how Snoopy acted, which is our dog, who passed away? And I was like, yeah, kind of, like, that's how he would act when we would come home and stuff. He'd be super excited and would, like, run around our feet and just, you know, how dogs usually are when they haven't seen you in a while. So, I mean, that's not, like, a definite, like, oh, that's our dog reincarnated into this dog's body, because that dog was pretty old, I think the lady said. So, I can't really remember that, but it kind of was one of those things that, like, it was comforting in a way, because it felt like our dog was in that dog's body. That kind of came out weird, but that's the gist. And I guess I can't really call it a reincarnation experience, because I guess that the dog that we had met would have to be born after our dog passed for the whole soul connecting thing to really happen. But I like to think that it was our dog that we had been with that day, which brings me to talk about reincarnation and the psychological side of it, because, you know, that's kind of what I think of it. Like, I've thought about it a lot since then, obviously, and it's like, I kind of think maybe it was just like our way of grieving, kind of like a way of being accepting that he had passed and was moving on, so to speak. So, I mean, it's hard to really, like, draw the line between a reincarnated soul and, you know, just, oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I just ate dinner not that long ago, and people trying to cope with a death that they had recently gone through or something like that. So, this is also reincarnation and, like, past lives and stuff like that is something that is really common in little kids. And it's crazy to me, because, like, the whole thing with kids is everyone thinks that, you know, this is kind of a little off topic, but everyone thinks that kids are just so, like, naive, and they're not paying attention to the things around them, they're not learning and observing, which really isn't the case. And I shouldn't generalize like that, but for the most part, I think that's how many adults and older people generally perceive children. And, like, when they go on about, oh, I, like, whatever they say when they bring up past life memories, however they word it and whatever, I've never had an experience like that, but, so I can't give an example. But when things like that happen, parents are like, oh, you're so imaginative, like, oh, you're crazy. It's just a silly thought that you've had, and they dismiss it. And I don't think that that's really the case, because babies and animals, are always really perceptive to, or perceptive and sensitive, I guess, to that kind of stuff, like ghosts or entities, things that we can't see that are maybe in our everyday life. So that was another thing, is like kids and their past lives. And I wanted to, this website also, UK Essays, has stuff on here about children. I don't really want to sit here and read that, but another website that I had looked at briefly is happyscience.org, and it has this little excerpt from The Essence of Buddha about reincarnation, and it says, "A large portion of human suffering occurs because people think they only live once. When they become fully aware that the present life is only one point in the internal flow of time, and that they have lived in the past and will live again in the future, they will understand that their future lives will depend on their present life, and also that they can choose what kind of life they will live in the future." And I really like that, because I feel like that's not something we really think about a lot, is that, like, we really live in the moment. We really only think about, you know, where we are in our lives now and things that are going on now, but we don't think about the past or, you know, different time periods in our life that we could have been a part of and just not remember, or anything like that. Anytime I talk about reincarnation, it reminds me of the saying, like, oh, you have an old soul. Like, if you know, people have, like, an old soul, quote-unquote, to them and stuff like that. I don't think I've ever been told that I have an old soul. I can't remember right now. But it feels like such a weird thing to say to someone that, like, I don't know, is perceptive about these kind of things, I think. But, you know, whether you believe in different worlds, different layers of life, I guess you can call it, like, this website, the same website, Happy Science, also says underneath, the spirit world is the real home of the soul. The earthly world is a foreign school visited for a period of time for spiritual training. Now, this website is kind of more spiritually based. It's something that my cousin sent me a while ago. He's very spiritual and into the whole, like, opening up your third eye and, like, he sun gazes and all this other stuff that I'm not really too educated on, so I won't talk about it too much because I don't want to be ill towards it and be ignorant about it. But it's not something that I personally really understand and live by like he does. But I do think that there are different worlds or layers to life. Is kind of like how I like to think about it. The same with, like, the tree concept that I was talking about earlier for multiple timelines. It's kind of like that, where there's different worlds. There's, you know, the physical world that we're in, and then there's the spiritual world, which is where, you know, spirits and souls are that are waiting to be reincarnated. So, I cannot remember what I've been talking about. I really just talked about the definition of reincarnation in my experience. But it is something that I am interested in. It's something I believe in because, you know, there has to be more to life than just what we live right now. Like, I personally think it's a little ignorant, I guess, to think that, like, this is definitely going off of what I originally wanted to talk about, but aliens. You know, I think it's ignorant of us as a species to live in this massive amount of space. Just our galaxy, but, like, the entire universe is massive, and there's so much of it that we can't go out to explore yet. And I think it's just crazy to think that we are the only living species in this entire universe. Like, I just can't, I can't believe in it. I definitely think that there are different, there are more, you know, life forms somewhere else in the universe. And me and my mom have talked about this a couple times too, and it goes back to the timeline theory as well, is that, like, if there is a parallel universe of our galaxy system and our solar system and everything, if there's a parallel to that somewhere else in the universe and it's like us, would they be on the same path that we are on? Like, would they be as advanced as we are right now, or would they be more advanced than us, or would they be less advanced than us? You know, it's really interesting to think about, and there's, it sucks that there's no definite answer because we can't explore that far yet. Hopefully we can. As for aliens, I don't think that they're like the typical, you know, funky looking green things that everyone likes to portray in the media, but I definitely do think that there are different life forms out in the universe. So, this is getting long already. I love to talk, I guess. I think that's enough for reincarnation. I really just wanted to talk about, like, my take on it and talk about what it is and stuff like that. I did kind of want to talk about, like, the psychological part of it, but I haven't really read anything. I should have read a little bit more before I started, but I did want to talk about, like, psychology and how psychology plays into reincarnation, because it could just, I mean, the mind is, like, it's crazy. The mind is insane. It's beautiful, and it's so advanced, and it's crazy the things that our mind does. And, you know, sometimes the mind is silly, and it likes to play tricks on us, and I think that maybe reincarnation can be, like, experiencing reincarnation can be a type of way for our mind to be like, hey, I am grieving really bad right now, this is a silver lining, I'm gonna take whatever I can get and try to make myself feel better with this. And I'm not necessarily saying that it's a bad thing to do that. I do it all the time, and I think it's a beautiful thing to try and find, you know, positives and ways to connect people that have passed, or just memories of people, to things that we can see every day. Like my grandma, lost my train of thought. My grandma associates her mother, my great-grandma, with butterflies. So whenever she sees a butterfly, she goes, oh, it's my mom visiting me. And I kind of do the same thing. My grandma calls me Ladybug. It's a nickname she's had for me for a while. So whenever I see a ladybug, I go, oh, me mom must be thinking of me. So it's not the same as reincarnation because my grandmother hasn't passed. But, you know, for her, when her mom passed, I know she really, like, she was seeing butterflies all the time, and she took a lot of comfort in that because she thought, you know, she associates butterflies with her mom. So she, in her mind, was like, oh, this is my mom coming to tell me that, like, everything's okay, that she's moved on and she's resting peacefully now. So enough about that. I do want to talk about dreams and lucid dreaming, because this, I could talk for hours about dreaming. It's insane. And my dreams are, you know, crazy. I don't talk about them too much. But I got really out of breath. the definition of lucid dreaming, just so that we're all on the same understanding of it, is the experience of achieving consciousness awareness of dreaming while still asleep. Lucid dreams are generally thought to arise from non-lucid dreams in REM sleep. An obstacle to experimental studies of lucid... Oh, wait. Okay. That last sentence doesn't matter, but this comes from NCBI article. I like this definition a little better. This one comes from Wikipedia. A lucid dream is a dream during which the dreamer is aware that they are dreaming. During lucid dream, the dreamer may gain some amount of control over the dream characters, narrative, and environment. However, this is not necessarily for a dream to be described. That is not necessary, for a dream to be described as lucid. So, I have gone back and forth between saying that I lucid dream and just saying that I have very vivid dreams, because it is a little bit of both. There are times where, like, I'll be dreaming and I know that I'm dreaming, but I can't control myself. Like, most people claim they can while they lucid dream. And, like, the definition says that they have control over the dream and the characters and the narrative of their dream. It's hard for me to think now, of course, that I'm talking about it, of specific times that I've been able to take control of a dream. I'm sure I have had some kind of control over, like, the narrative of a dream at one point. So, that first definition comes from the U.S. National Library of Medicine. That's what this website is. And this just talks about a study that they conducted to... it says, the goal of the study was to seek psychological correlatives of lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is a dissociated state with aspects of waking and dreaming combined in a way as to suggest a specific alternation in brain psychology, for which we now present preliminary but intriguing evidence. Interesting. I'll have to read that after this. But that one's just about a study on lucid dreaming. But, you know, so my dreams are really, really vivid. I know that I'm dreaming. I definitely can say that for fact. No, like, while I'm dreaming, I'm like, oh, this is a dream right now, this isn't happening. But there are times that my dreams are so vivid and they feel so real that I can't tell them apart from memories, like, if they're memories or if they're dreams. My biggest example of that is, I claim this to be my first memory, and I'm putting air quotes around that because I really don't know if it was a dream that I had or if I experienced it, but... my first memory that I think that I have is of the day my grandfather died. And I say that I don't know if this is a memory or if it's a dream because my mom told me a lot about that day. Growing up, it was just something that we always talked about. And I know that I've definitely dreamt of it before. So, and that's why I can't decide if it's like, did this happen or did I dream it? But yeah. So that's kind of an idea of how vivid my dreams are, is they're so vivid and lifelike. I feel a lot of the emotions that I'm experiencing in my dream while I'm sleeping, and that's really hard to explain, I feel like. And there are lots of times where I'll wake up from a dream and I still feel those emotions. Typically those ones are usually like anxiety, like high levels of anxiety that I'm experiencing in my dream that have caused me to wake up, and they, you know, drift into my conscious state of being after I wake up and everything. But I do feel very strong emotion while I'm dreaming, which is really crazy, I think. I don't know if that's something that's really common, because I haven't, you know, really looked into it much. But going back to what I said at the beginning with Avery, my friend Avery, we talk about it a lot. She doesn't really remember her dreams, or she doesn't think that she dreams often, which is normal. I have definitely had, you know, periods of time in my life where I just didn't dream at night or didn't remember that I dreamt. And I know, you know, family have gone through it too. And I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest. But it's just a crazy parallel that, like, you know, there are people that are lucid dreaming and taking control of their dreams. There are people that have really vivid dreams like me, and they, you know, can feel that they're in a dream, but it feels really real, and it's hard to distinguish between dream and reality. And then, you know, people that don't dream at all or don't remember their dreams or things like that. And I saw this thing one time. I don't remember where. Probably Facebook. But it was about, like, blind people or people that are colorblind, how they dream, which I think is really interesting, and I didn't know. But if, you know, for someone who's been blind since birth, they dream in sounds, and stuff like that, which I think is really cool. That would be, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's scary, but it's also really cool to think about that they, you know, because when you're, you know, when you have, you can't see, when you can't see, your other senses get really heightened, so blind people who are blind have, like, crazy good hearing, or, you know, their touch senses are really well their touch senses are very amplified to, you know, compensate for their lack of being able to see. So I just think that being able to dream in sounds and stuff must be crazy to experience. People that are colorblind, or, you know, have color blind issues. I don't know how to word it, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. I hope it's not coming off that way. But people who are colorblind, they dream in black and white. But even people who aren't colorblind also dream in black and white. I've definitely seen that too. Let me look that up real quick. How many people dream in black and white? I know it's not a lot. It's like 12% of people dream entirely in black and white. So, and that's typically more common in people. This says people over 55 who grew up with little to no access to color television report dreaming in black and white. But overall, 12% of people completely dream in black and white. And I think that would be really interesting too, because, you know, color is such a big part of our lives that we don't really think about too often. It's definitely something that's taken for granted sometimes. So to dream, like to see partial color, or, you know, whatever type of color blindness someone has, to be able to see that during the day and then dream in those colors, or dream in black and white, must be insane. I can only imagine. I think that would be crazy to not be able to see color in their dreams. But at the same time, it's all very, like, beautiful, I guess, because everyone is so different, and everyone perceives things differently, and everyone, you know, dreams differently, and all this other stuff, and I've definitely gotten carried away, so I'm going to stop talking now, but I hope this was somewhat enjoyable, and I hope I don't sound too gross or too mixed up. When I speak, I'm not going to listen to this back, because I really do not like listening to my own voice. But I hope this was entertaining, and if you are not a person who has really thought or believes in reincarnation or lucid dreaming and all of that stuff, I hope this kind of made you want to explore these things more. I definitely wish I had looked into these a little bit more before starting to talk about them in this podcast, but I was really excited to get one out, so I wanted to. But that's it for this. I definitely will be making more podcasts, hopefully, since we have time now to, you know, I have time to sit in my room and talk for 30 minutes about stuff that I find interesting. So again, like I said in the beginning, I hope everyone is staying safe and practicing social distancing, and I hope that everyone is, you know, well and happy and dealing with things as best as they can. We're all living through such a wild, wild time in history right now, and it's very hard for many different people for many different reasons. So try to reach out and, you know, talk about these kind of things, because I do think it's important to talk about. Just because everyone's going through it doesn't mean that your issues are any less. So reach out to me if you can, reach out to a friend or anyone who will listen, and stay safe. Thank you for listening.